Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be looking at the fruits of the Holy Spirit as explored in song. Specifically, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Sarah Hart will be joining me to discuss her album, Till the Song is Sung, which musically highlights the love of God and the qualities we need to thrive as His children. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. It's not always easy to wrap our heads or hearts around the concept of God's unconditional love, His willingness to help us carry our burdens, and His call for us to live lives grounded in faith. But sometimes music can help us better absorb those truths. That's the kind of music Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Sarah Hart creates on a regular basis, writing songs for artists like Amy Grant, Matt Maher, and Audrey Assad. But she also does the same thing on her own albums, including her latest, Till the Song is Sung. Sarah is a good friend of this show. She's been on many times, so I wanted to invite her back again to talk about her music. But first, I want to share a clip from Till the Song is Sung. Here is Sarah Hart with Joy in These Bones.
Now I'm gonna lose the chains for me, left a mark. Oh, but I'm rolling up my sleeves for all to see. That you can't wrestle with those demons in the dark. Yeah, and come out singing light above the enemy. And I got joy.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. We just heard a clip of the song Joy in These Bones from Sarah Hart's album Till the Song is Sung, and I am happy to welcome Sarah back to the show right now. Sarah, thank you so much for coming back on the show and for creating another wonderful album. It's great to have you here.
Hey, Tony. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you and talk to you again.
Absolutely. Well, Till the Song is Sung, this is your ninth solo album, and you say the songs are based on the fruits of the Spirit. Why did you decide to focus on that theme this time around?
Well, I've written several retreats that I carry across the country to parishes as parish missions or women's retreats, events, things like that. And so the newest retreat, I just really love the fruit of the Spirit, and was reading through that scripture one day and thinking, you know, all of these on their own merit, just this one little sentence, this one little scripture, there's so much to unpack about this. And so I started to unpack it and then thought I should do a whole retreat about the fruit of the Spirit. And since I was doing a whole retreat, writing a whole retreat, I thought, well, let me go ahead and write a whole record, I guess, about the fruit of the Spirit. So there's a lot to unpack about that one little scripture.
Sure. Well, when I interviewed Audrey Assad a couple of years ago, I remember her saying that she often finds herself writing songs that deal with topics she's struggling with in her own life. Do you wrestle with the ideas you write about on your albums like this one?
Oh, you have no idea. And, you know, Audrey and I have had this conversation as well. But I think that when you're a writer, you know, your life is writing, you know, and I think every time you sit down to write a song, in some aspect or in some context, you're writing in wrestling with something that you're going through, or maybe not really wrestling, but just reveling even in something that you're going through. And so I think that's true of every songwriter, that they can't help but interject pieces of themselves into the lyric and into the music. And that's what I think being a songwriter is all about. So I would definitely say that's true. And for me, because I write so much, It was a matter of kind of going through and looking at the body of songs that I had already and sort of plugging them into these different ideas of love, joy, peace, and patience. And there was only one that I hadn't written, and I pretty much wrote it a few weeks before the record. And so, yeah, so it worked out really well.
Okay. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her new album, Till the Song is Sung. Now, I read you've been getting a lot of questions because there is a lemon on your album cover that a lot of people have asked about. What is the meaning of the lemon? Is it about using lemons to make lemonade or what?
That's what everybody says. I'm like, no, it's just a really cool picture that my artist designed. I love birds, and it's the fruit of the spirit, so he wanted to have something with fruit on the cover, and I think he did a great job, but it is very funny because everybody's like, what's with the lemon? So sometimes a lemon is just a lemon.
Right. Well, the song we heard at the top of the show is Joy in These Bones, and I thought it was really empowering song about this message of Christianity that we're supposed to be joyful people. So what inspired this particular track? Because even in Christian circles, the message of joy in Christianity can get lost pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, writing from a perspective of that we all have a lot of human brokenness. There is not one of us that is an unbroken being. We are, all of us. And I think that we forget sometimes that the joy of Christ and the joy of the resurrection is something that once we believe, once we adhere our soul to, it is something that cannot be taken away from us. And we act like it can. We act like joy is a circumstantial thing, but really joy is so much deeper than that. Happiness, maybe, contentment, maybe, is a circumstantial thing, but joy itself is not circumstantial. Joy is born of the knowledge that God has sacrificed everything for us, even himself, for us to prove his love for us. And we are that loved. And that is really the essence of Christian joy. And I think we sometimes get our life and daily circumstance mixed up with joy. But joy is, in fact, that thing that cannot be taken from us once we understand intrinsically the deep, deep love of God for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of times that joy can seem to dissipate in someone's life because of the burdens they carry. And you kind of address that topic in the song Carry, and you cite both Mary and Jesus' challenges and burdens. How do you think a song like Carry can help people approach their burdens in a new way that can help perpetuate that joy we were just talking about?
Well, Carry is an interesting song because the idea of carry really is that there are some things only love can carry, and that is the love that we have within us, the strength of love, and the acceptance of the love of God. And I think that in our burdens and struggles, we have to constantly be turning over our burdens and struggles to a loving God, to put them in his hands and say, I trust you with this. I trust you with this burden. I trust you with this brokenness. And I trust that your love will help me be carried through these times, these struggles, these pains that I feel.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You said some things only love can carry, because when I was reading and listening to this song, it reminds me of the old Martina McBride song, Love's the Only House Big Enough for All the Pain in the World. And I think thematically, you're on the same page with that. Because love here is defined in a supernatural sense, not just the superficial way society can sometimes see it. Do you think we underestimate or forget love's true power at times because it may sound hokey or cliche to say something like that?
Yes, I definitely think that we can. And, you know, I always say this to my girls, that it's interesting that love in the English language is such a strange word, because I can literally go to McDonald's and say, I love this hamburger. And I can come home and kiss my husband and say, I love you so much. And how sad is it that, oh, that's the same word I just used for a hamburger, you know?
Yeah. So,
love is such a terrible word because it's not quite definable in the way that we define it. So for me, love encompasses so much more than just one meaning. Love is so many different meanings and means so many different things. And certainly the love of God, I think, is something that we won't grasp until we meet him in eternity. And we can try in this world to understand what the power of love really is, but I don't think we'll see it until we go to eternal glory.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album Till the Song is Sung. You can find it on iTunes or Amazon or at sarahhartmusic.com. You know, since we're talking about love, that's also another a theme in the song Come Away. And there's a line in there I want to touch on. You wrote, "You rose up a lantern of light to my face. I cowered in fear and I clung to my shame." And I think that's an issue that's easily overlooked because there are some people so mired in guilt from their past that they don't believe they can move forward. What do you want to convey with the song Come Away?
Well, actually, the song Come Away is sort of a take on the way that marriages happened in the Old Testament, where the groom would show up at the bride's door and he would come with himself and a group of men who were sort of his best men, and he would hold up a lantern. And he would say, "Come away with me and be my bride." And they would go away together and he would marry her. And I think that that's very much Christ's call to us. He comes to the door. He knocks like a bridegroom and he holds up a lantern and he says, you know, "Come away with me. Be my bride. I've paid your debt." Because also in the Old Testament, you know, the man could not marry the woman until her debt was paid. And so it would be like, I've paid your debt. I love you so much. Come away with me. And I think that's Christ's call to us. Lay down your shame. Forget that stuff. Forget the place that you come from and look only to the place that you're going to. See the light. Follow the light. Come away and let me show you how beloved you are. And I really love that song. That's probably my favorite song on the record.
Right,
it came
right.
from such a heart place, you know.
Do you like incorporating these stories or themes from the Old Testament, from the Bible? Because it sounds like you are also a student, at least to a certain degree, of biblical history and interpretation.
I love scripture so much. I love the Bible. I definitely would never profess to be a great theologian, but I just love scripture and I love scripture stories. And so, yeah, I actually on the road teach a lot from scripture because I just love it so much. And there's so much rich history. It's such a part of our faith. And oftentimes I think the Old Testament gets a little overlooked. And so I really wanted to have at least one song on there that really related to the Old Testament very well. But I'm kind of a geek for all that stuff. I don't know why, I just am.
For your line of work, it's an appropriate thing to be a geek about.
I think so, and I sort of wish more people were as geeky about it as me, but there's such a rich history and rich tradition we have, and I think sometimes in our world, we're very microcosmic about our Christianity. Mm-hmm. We sort of operate in this place of, oh, well, right now, today, here's what's happening, and we forget a lot of the fact that historically there have been 2,000 years of Christianity, and before that, many, 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 many more years of Father God and believing and knowing Father God. And so we have to remember that the walk that we're walking now has been being walked for thousands and thousands of years, and there's a lot to be learned from the people who walked before us.
Yeah, I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album, Till the Song is Sung, and along those lines, even the song Good, I think when I was listening to it, it was kind of a wake-up call about how long humanity has just kept messing up and God just keeps giving us another chance. And, you know, is that something you wanted to promote during that song? Like how God's goodness can help us become better ourselves?
I have to tell you, that song was the biggest struggle on the record. That was the one hole that I had that I could not fill. And I tried for a year to write a song about goodness. I tried for a year. How can I write a song about goodness and being good? And the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, the problem is that we really, underneath it all, we're not good. we just aren't. We're sinful creatures. We are born in the fall. And and it is the love of God which makes us good. And so really, it's God who's good. And I started thinking about all those times in biblical history that we've turned away. And thinking over and over and over again, God reveals himself and he reveals his goodness in our turning. And so I'm so glad that you noticed that song because I love it so much. And I feel like to write about goodness, you have to begin with writing about God because he is the ultimate in goodness. It is he that is good.
Sure. Well, the other thing I was struck by in that song is, because it's interesting looking at ideas from a different perspective, because a lot of atheist arguments against God hinge in the idea that he's a vengeful bully in the Bible. And you're talking about that how great God is throughout the Bible. So there are two groups reading the exact same book but coming out with diametrically opposed conclusions. Why do you think yours is the more accurate conclusion?
Well, I guess I think because in all those circumstances where there may have been, you know, punishment and you saw God's wrath in the Old Testament, which, let's be honest, it's there. It's definitely there. But you also see a God who over and over again loves. He makes clothes for Adam and Eve. It's the first thing he does after he says, okay, you're punished forever. Get out of my garden. But here, let me make you some clothes. After the people are wandering in the desert, God says, okay, I love you and you're starving. Let me give you some manna and I'll lead you to the promised land. You know, it seems like over and over, God shows that he loves. I always equate Old Testament God with kind of a father who puts his kids in time out. And just because he puts his kids in time out doesn't mean he's banished them forever. He puts them in time out to learn a lesson and then goes into their room, puts them on his lap and gives them a hug and says, right, I really love you so much. You know, and that to me is the image of God that I have. His goodness always shines for us, even when we are dorks and make big mistakes. His goodness, you know, yeah, his goodness always wins the day, and his love always wins the day.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute with more of my conversation with Sarah Hart. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking with Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Sarah Hart about her album Till the Song is Sung. Before we continue our conversation, here's another clip from that album. This is Sarah Hart with Hallowed Ground.
There is holiness in every crack and scar, and the weaver rent upon this earth.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of the song Hallowed Ground from Sarah Hart's album Till the Song is Sung. And now here's more of my interview with Sarah. We mentioned Audrey Assad earlier, and I know you co-wrote the song Constant with her, and it reminded me of the Francis Thompson poem, The Hound of Heaven, about God pursuing us even though we're running away from him. Even though you're working in Catholic circles and you're very grounded in God, do you still find yourself running away from God at times?
Oh, maybe only about once a day. You know, I am so comforted by the knowledge that all of the saints that we know and uphold in the Catholic Church have all been runners and have all found themselves at times reluctant. Mm-hmm. And that's such a gift to us as Catholic Christians. I think we need to rest in the fact that we are reluctant. We need to rest in the fact that we doubt. I think the worst thing to be on the planet for me personally would be to be a completely 100% blissful Christian and to never doubt God, because I think God would be so bored with me. I think he wants me to ask questions and he appreciates my humanity. He created me in my humanity. And so for me, the ongoing doubt and the ongoing running, it only means that I have a relationship with him. If I stop doubting and I stop kind of turning or making mistakes and then coming back and asking questions and asking forgiveness, it means I'm really no longer in relationship. And so that's why I bless the doubting and I bless the stumbling, because it's all part of it. It's all part of working out the salvation. And working on my relationship with God. And I find that beautiful and I find that comforting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing I got from that song is, you know, since we live in this world where everything seems impermanent, from marriages that end in divorce to something simple like somebody unfriending you on Facebook, do you think that impermanent nature of things makes it harder for people to believe in a constant like God and his love?
I do. And I think that I have this strange theory, but historically, the farther in time, I'm just talking about like the timeline of history, farther in the timeline of history, we get away from the person of Christ, from, you know, those years of 0 to 33. I think the harder it is for people to believe and lean on Jesus, which is why faith is so crucial in our time. And for those who have been given the gift of faith and who work on their faith, it's huge. It's a huge gift. Mm-hmm. And something that the world desperately, desperately needs. And the further historically we get away from that point of Christ actually being with us in human form on earth, the more crucial that becomes and the more important it becomes for us to believe and to share God's beauty and God's love and God's hope with others.
Yeah. And when you perform and when you give these retreats, do you see the hunger for that kind of knowledge that you're giving people to? Do they respond to what you're saying?
You know, I think the biggest thing I see about people is that they want to be happy and free in their faith. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they are not. Oftentimes they are operating their faith from a place of fear or operating as if they lived in chains. And what I try to do in my retreats is to show how deeply people are loved, how deeply people are forgiven, how much joy there is. We laugh a lot, you know, in my retreats. I tell a lot of stupid stories and just share the joy of the gospel and the joy of Christ, because that is where the freedom in faith is found. And not to take our faith on earth too seriously, but to rejoice and rest in it, even in the stumbling and even in the foibles, just to rejoice and rest in the fact that we are loved. We are so powerfully loved. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, really.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album, Till the Song is Sung. I want to touch on another song, Hallowed Ground, because this track seems to me like it's both a prayer and a call to action to yourself to leave this world better than you found it. So what's behind Hallowed Ground?
I actually wrote Hallowed Ground the night of the church shooting in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
There was a shooting. I don't know if you remember
sure.
it, but a man walked into a prayer group and shot 9 people in a prayer group in a church. And I just was crushed and felt so strongly that, you know, this man who committed this act, he's my brother. And what must I do? Mm-hmm. Not what must I give my opinion about or what soapbox must I stand on? You know, I don't want to stand on a soapbox. I want to do something. And so for me, the commitment is to be gentle, to be loving, to be kind, to embody as best as I can these gifts of the Spirit, to carry the Holy Spirit and to try to embody these gifts to the world of being love and joy and peace and being patient with people and kind to people and to tread this world softly and lightly with love. And that really was my prayer, truly. I wept as I wrote that song because I just, you know, that's my prayer, to walk humbly on this planet with God. And try to give that example so that others may do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I see a similarity between what you're just saying about Hallowed Ground, but also your other song, Because I Want an End. Was that similarly inspired by wanting that kind of peace and love and everything?
Yeah, Because I Want an End was born of a conversation that I had with someone I met, and it was a very difficult, unfortunate conversation with a person who just had a lot of bigotry and a lot of prejudice in their heart. Mm-hmm. And I felt so baffled after the conversation, just wondering what gets people to a place like that. How do we get there? How do we get to that place of extreme hatred, that place of extreme bigotry? How do we find ourselves there? And so for me, it begins with self. It begins with, you know, Mother Teresa says, if you want peace in the world, go home and hug your family, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It begins with self and me saying, I want an end. I want an end. So let me be a person of peace. Let me be a person of caring. I can't force anybody else to do the same. I can only be that myself and hope that my example shines and hope that God's love shines in that. So, kind of the same concept a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, talking about the church shooting in South Carolina, there was a lot of darkness in that. There's the darkness of racism you're just talking about. And, you know, since the Christophers are all about lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness, I have to say, I sense that theme throughout the album as well, that search for light. And you mentioned that search for light in a number of the songs. How do you think Till the Song is Sung ties into that idea of choosing light amidst the darkness?
Well, I have to say two things about it. Number one, my mother was visiting this week, and I drove her to the airport this morning, and I told her, oh, yeah, I've got an interview today with the Christophers. And she goes, oh, the Christophers? And then she sang me your song,
the Candle. Oh, One Little Candle? Wow.
Yes.
She's a longtime fan then.
I know. She is a longtime fan. It was so sweet. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to really, really learn that song. Maybe I'll redo it someday, Tony, just for you.
Well, that would be good. We have the sheet music, so...
I would love it. I would love it. But so Till the Song is Sung, the idea behind it is actually something very personal to me. And that is that when I was going into this recording, you said it, this is my 9th record, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, which I can't figure out because I'm 20 years old. So I don't know how this is my 9th record, but anyway. And I thought to myself, man, this is number 9 for me. How long am I going to do this? And I was sitting in the studio and sort of thinking about this in my head and the quiet of my heart. And I very much felt like God just said to me, Sarah, you will do this till your song is sung.
And
I was like, oh, I will, Lord. Like if you come and say it's time, you're done, I'll be like, great, thank you, wonderful, what a gift. But the song's not sung yet. And so I'll continue to press on and continue to do music and ministry and traveling until really God says otherwise. And I think that's the point of sharing the gospel. You know, I will... And even when music stops for me, even when the road stops for me, I will still be sharing this song because I'll be doing what you guys do, one little candle, you know, and carrying the light of God as long as I live until my song is completely sung. And I think that's the best that all of us as Christians can hope for, carry the light until we've completely sung the song.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking with Sarah Hart about her album, Till the Song is Sung. We are out of time, but Sarah and I are going to keep talking more about her family and her faith and her music, and we're going to bring you the conclusion of our conversation on our next episode. But until then, you can pick up Till the Song is Sung on Amazon, iTunes, or at sarahhartmusic.com. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.